Morning, birds. Oh, you sound great. You know what, birds? Folks that tune in earlier than our actual live show starts here on Bleep.network know that we just opened the microphone and we let you birds do your thing. And it sounded so good, I thought that would be a thing that we'll advertise. An hour of birds. Huh? Yeah? Okay. I mean, people subscribe to that. I'd rather hear you than me. So what do you think? Huh? All right. What's that? All right, okay. All right, 10%, but I want final cut. This little heart of mine, that's the Isley Brothers, and today is Rudolph Isley's birthday, a founding brother. He's 81. That's right. And it's April 1 on a beautiful sunny morning here in Chicago. It's 4 after the hour. It's Gary Lee Wright. We welcome you in. Thanks for joining us as we get ready to do all kinds of stuff today. This is opening day in the baseball season, Cubs opening day here in Chicago. And April Fools will... Oh my God. I was just reviewing. Spark sent me a whole bunch of suggested practical jokes. Some of these are unbelievably cruel, but we'll see if we can get a chuckle or two. So yeah, that's going on today. In the news, Washington Post wants you to know that President Biden unveiled a $2 trillion infrastructure plan to rebuild roads and bridges. To expand access to clean water, and to combat climate change. It faces stiff opposition from Republicans in Congress. Do not reply to this automated message. Yesterday, another mass shooting. 4 people, including a child, were shot and killed in an office complex in Southern California. That's the country's, as I said, 3rd mass shooting in 2 weeks. Workers at a plant in Baltimore... manufacturing 2 coronavirus vaccines, did you get this? Accidentally mixed them up. They conflated the 2 ingredients several weeks ago, contaminating up to 15 million doses the Johnson & Jackson vaccine. That's the one shot. And forced regulators to delay authorizing the plant's production lines. The plant is run by Emergent BioSolutions. They call that a subcontractor. Apparently, they've been cited for, I looked this up, man, everything from like dirty vials to God knows what. It's like a like the back of a bad restaurant somewhere. And anyway, they're making the vaccine. I was just reading the news here. This is notable. There's a display ad for Amazon in the middle of the New York Times feed this morning. Amazon's employees, their families, and communities have seen the benefits of our $15 starting wage. So I know that's about the thing, the vote down in Alabama. I don't know what the final tally is on that, but Amazon is still out there doing their thing. Joe Biden unveiled a $174 billion plan to fill roads with electric cars. Aaron, the news baron, and I often talk about that. It's no longer a fantasy. It's going to happen. They're hoping to make electric vehicles more affordable and turn a niche product into one with mass consumer appeal. I thought this one was a little under the radar, but I'll throw it out here. On what I might add is Apple's birthday. This is the day, and I gotta look this up. 1976, wow. Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs cooked up Apple in their parents' garage, in somebody's parents' garage in Cupertino. Anyway, that was then. This is now. Reuters reminding us that smartphones and computers and other smart devices purchased in Russia must now come pre-installed with Russian software. That's effective today in a move that seeks to help Russian IT firms compete with foreign counterparts. Moscow's trying to strengthen control of the internet and reduce its dependence on foreign companies and countries. One potential stumbling block for the law's introduction was the reaction of U.S. tech giant Apple, which dragged its feet. The legislation, says Reuters, has become, I wish I could do a good Russian accent, has become known colloquially in Russian as the law against Apple. Da. Apple said it's going to offer a selection of apps from Russian developers as part of an activation screen for new devices. Soviet technology and lots of alcohol. Hey, what could happen? The apps on the list include internet browsers, search engines, maps, and apps for using the payment system Mirror, which is Russia's answer to Visa and MasterCard. I'm sorry. Deputy Prime Minister Dmitry Chernyshenko said that they have an opportunity and the potential to become a locomotive. Wow, they have trains there now. A locomotive in the process of modernizing the country. Hey, I'm screwing around here, but it occurred to me that, do you think there might be a chip on every little device now where Vladimir can see what's going on? All right, here's some undeniably good news. The Pentagon yesterday unveiled new regulations allowing transgender troops to serve in their preferred gender and affording them access to military medical care. The new regulations officially end former President Donald Trump's de facto ban on transgender service members and allows individuals who meet military entrance qualifications to enlist, serve in their self-identified gender, and access care deemed medically necessary for gender transition. That is according to the Pentagon spokesman John Kirby. That policy comes about 2 months after President Joe announced that he would end Trump's policies. Oh, geez. All right. Good news. I don't know anything about transgender. I'm going to educate myself. I may know someone who's transgender. I just don't know. I just don't know if he or she is, you know, identified that way. So we'll get into that. All right. So a mix of good and stuff, mix of good and bad stuff here. 10 after the hour. On Pirate Radio from Chicago. Let's see. Wait, should we take... All right, give me a minute here. You remember when they told kids to put down the Cocoa Puffs and start exercising? Remember that? When we rock and rolled it? You know what I mean? You got a balance.
Science, food, and activity, working together, the body electricity. You gotta balance food and activity, working together, the body electricity. Let's start with the food that your body load. You gobble it up and send it on the road. The food gets to its destination. It's pure gastric fascination. Your stomach acts like a wood burning fire. It burns your lunch up, that's your body's desire. You gotta balance food and activity, working together, the body electricity. But there's a problem here that make your motor stop. When you get sit around, the engine will flop. So you gotta get moving for the work to be done. If you lay on a couch, you won't be any fun. Just sit, your gut will be blue. If you sit and sit, you'll turn to goo. You gotta balance food and activity, working together, the body electricity. The moral is you gotta balance the two. With good food and activity, you can make a healthy you. You gotta balance food and activity, working together, the body electricity.
Yeah. You're killing me with his lyrics. What was true gastric satisfaction? Oh my lord. It's 11 after the hour in Chicago. It is a nice sunny day, and let's do some April Fools here, okay? April 1. You know, I gotta say, I always saw April Fool, and of course the opportunity to do practical jokes. So many of these are just cruel, and I was thinking of things that I thought were funny. I got one that I remember. This was pretty funny. This happened in an office. Whatever reason needed to be called out. They did this thing. The guy wore a hat. All right, he had a specific kind of hat. So they went out and got. Now see, this requires preparation. They ordered about six hats of the same hat in different sizes. You with me? So they started replacing the guy's hat, and the first thing. That happened. So they started, they put the slightly larger size, right? And then, okay, so the guy, he's going, they'd watch him try out the hat. And the guy thought that his head was shrinking. So then, just when he gets going there, then they go to the other direction, they start putting the smaller hats. And he thought his head was going to explode. So anyway, all right. We have a few ideas here. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to rate some of these. How about this? Some of these are elaborate. All right, this is the bubble wrap and rug practical joke. You lift up a rug, then you place bubble wrap under the rug. Okay, all right, and then you watch someone freak out with a popping noise. What do you think? That's a winner. All right, that's a winner. Okay. Jeez. There are so many like food things here. All right, you swap out. You open up a, Jesus, I didn't read these. You open up a pack of Oreos, and you swap out the white part of the Oreo with toothpaste. I agree. I wouldn't, that's not a nice thing to do. How about this? It's a pretty good one here. Now this is an easy one. This is like a kid's thing you could do. You know, no injuries, no ensues. You need a bar of soap and some clear nail polish. All right? And then you put the clear nail polish on the bar of soap until it dries and puts it back. Huh? Then when your guests go into the, you know, the restroom, you see how that would... Okay, now this one I think is borderline here. You're going to need a pack of gum, jeez, and Play-Doh, the same color as the gum. You know Play-Doh? All right, you unravel the wrap. I already see what we're doing here. It gives you an instruction, so use the gum as a reference. Then roll the Play-Doh to resemble the same thickness as a piece of gum. All right, so you make a piece of gum out of Play-Doh, and then you put it back in the pack. No. I know. I think that's not a nice thing to do to somebody. All right, wait a minute. Oh, I think I've got the winner. You get somebody's phone, and then you change the language. Now that's funny. Atlantics and the Eurythmics on Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's 20 after the hour here. It is a beautiful sunny day here. I hope you get some sunshine where you are. This is the 1st of April. It's April Fool's Day. It's April 1st. It's a new opportunity to prank people. All right, one more on this. You need somebody's deodorant, and then you twist the bottom of the container, and then you replace it with cream cheese. No, that's an awful. All right. Well, maybe it's funny. Now, when I was a kid, there was a show on TV called Candid Camera. There's a show now called Impractical Jokers, and I think that kind of is in the same ancestry. Anyway, the whole deal. I could talk on and on about that show. Joan Rivers wrote for that show back in the day, and Alan Funt was the guy. He was Mr. Candid Camera. Actually, it started as a show called Candid Microphone on radio. Anyway, the whole thing, I thought this was hysterical as a kid. And this is the thing that we wanted to watch. Were these practical jokes that they would play on people, and largely it was they would create some scenario, and then they just run a camera. I remember one. All right, here's a funny one that I remember, and then I've got a clip for you. They had equipped little cars like Volkswagens. They had equipped this Volkswagen with an enormous gas tank. So the car pulls into the gas station, and the subject here is some unsuspecting gasoline attendant. So they fill her up. So the guy fills it up, and it's like 10 gallons, 20 gallons, 50. This thing is, and the whole thing was just to watch the guy's take. That was funny. Now, it takes a lot. You can't play that. It's easier to, replace somebody's deodorant with cream cheese than that. Here's one here. In fact, wait a minute. This is Alan Funt live.
Here's a youngster who comes up to a closed door with two hands full of ice cream cones. And a doorknob is hard enough to handle when you're four, even if your hands are empty. But when they're sticky and full, this can be quite a problem.
Poor child.
Now, in a moment, she's going to try putting both cones in one hand just for a moment. But when the ice cream seems a little threatened, she's going to try it now for a second. But watch how the ice cream almost slips a little. Whoop! She decides, all right, I'll go around. Now, this young lady, you tell me what she was thinking of. She stuck her toe underneath the door, and she figured that she once heard somebody say, if you just get your foot in the doorway. I don't know. She waited and waited and dug her toe in and didn't do a thing but that. This fella surprised us all. He put both cones in one hand, opened the door, was about to go right through, changed his mind. He says, it's more fun trying like that other girl did, so I'll dig my toe in.
Well, you know you make me wanna
shout,
kick my heels up and
shout,
throw my hands up and
shout,
throw my head back and
shout.
Come on now,
don't
forget to say you will. Don't forget to say yeah.
Say you will.
Say it right now, baby.
Say you will.
Come on.
Say.
Say that you love me.
Say
that you need me.
Say
that you want me.
got my woman, I feel love.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Every time I think about you, you've been so good to me. You know you make me wanna
shout,
lift my hands on the
top,
on my head like it's out, kick my heels on the top. Come on now, take it easy, take it easy, take it easy. A little bit softer now, 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 a little bit softer now.
It's the Isley Brothers. It's Rudolph Isleysworth, founding Isley Brother. At 27 after the hour from Chicago, it's Pirate Radio on a beautiful day here in a new month and a whole lot of style, a lot of good feeling. Me and the birds here. Still to come today, Aaron the News Baron, Aaron Mittens, joins us. We'll talk about, he probably saw this. There's a new video showing a helicopter on Mars. Mm-hmm. All right, so that's coming up in a while. Tell you what, today is it's opening day in baseball, and I don't know. I have a stack of baseball stuff here. Wrigleyville Bars, your opening day guide to 46 spots around Wrigley Field. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the Negro Leagues, which is a very big deal. That's in the news. And I thought we'd get into this whole notion of what's new in baseball. So, anyway, my friend Al Katz, Chicago Al, I'm going to call him up in Vegas. Al, among other things, used to work for the Chicago White Sox. I know that because he took me to a game, an opening day game. I've been to two opening days in my life. One at the White Sox Park, which was Comiskey Park, and I know it's something else now. And at Wrigley Field, boy, and they were cold. They were cold. You gotta love it. So anyway, we're gonna talk about the opening day today. I ran down all the stuff yesterday. Wrigley is, it's. I think it's gonna be the new building protocol. When you go to a public building after the COVID here, I think it's gonna work like Wrigley. All right, so. Yeah. All right, let's do this. You ready? I got something here. I'll tell you what. Play ball.
Yes, Jackie hit that ball.
And when he swung his bat, the crowd went wild because he knocked that ball a solid mile. Yeah, boy.
Yes, yes, Jackie hit that ball.
Satchel Paige is mellow, so is Campanella. Newcomb and Dobie too. But it's a natural fact, when Jackie comes to bat, the other team is through.
Did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball? Did he hit it? Yes! And that ain't all, he's so whole!
Yes, yes, Jackie's real gone. Jack is real gone. Cause Jackie is a real gone guy.
Yes, sir. He parked it. That's Count Basie. On Pirate Radio from Chicago, it's 31 past the hour. The irrepressible Chicago Al joins us this morning. Hi, Al. Hang on. There it is. Hey, Al, I can't figure how to work the buttons.
Well, you know, the flat part goes through the hole.
So you, in fact, did work for the White Sox.
I did.
Many years
That's
ago.
That's when we met.
I know.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, during that period of time, it was. So, geez, I got all kinds of stuff to. Or you're not going to a game today, but would you if you had access to one, or what about that?
I'm going to try to go Sunday.
Really?
The White Sox are in Los Angeles, Orange County, Anaheim, and I'll be staying. For about 10 days, beginning Saturday, in Los Alamitos.
Uh-huh.
I'm a quarter horse runner, that's why.
Right.
And that's an obscure joke, I'm sorry.
It's okay. We'll edit that out of the rebroadcast.
Thank you, that's important. And Sunday, I'm going to go to the game and try to buy a couple of tickets outside the ballpark. Although I want to sit inside the ballpark,
yeah.
I'm going to try to buy them outside the ballpark.
This is going to, so it's the White Sox at Angels, what is that called? Angels, it's not Angels Stadium, but Anaheim Stadium.
Anaheim Stadium.
That's a Plus weird place, Al. I was there once. It's next to Disneyland. You knew that?
Right. I do. I've been there as well.
There's an animatronic gorilla in center field that made me nervous for 9 innings.
At least you stayed. You left early with me.
I know. So this has been a year that has been, you know, removed from our life, and we can't get it back. I think of all the things that I've missed this last year, and they're legion in number. I think baseball would be at the top.
It's the first year since 1957 where I had not gone to a Major League Baseball game.
Oh, my goodness. Didn't
you know, one of our buddies, John Bell, and I went to 25 White Sox openers together in a row.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Opening day, and I'm going back to, I know it's not, what is it, guaranteed something, downward spiral field now in Chicago? What is that called? The Arrows.
Comiskey Park.
Exactly. Park. Thank you. The Arrows pointing the wrong way. I don't care what they say. But I remember they.
You know how they rationalize that?
Yeah, yeah.
It's the pitcher's ERA that's going down.
All right. Okay.
They're so foolish.
I'm trying to recreate baseball. They used to have a bucket of water in center field. Remember what I'm talking about?
No.
What was it? Go ahead. You tell us.
All right. The Plumbers Union hooked up a shower in the center field bleachers. And on hot days, people would stand under it and it was a rain head, and pull a chain, and they would get doused with water. Well, Harry Carey, who was doused anyway, would get out there and do that to himself. And he was such a fan favorite. They just loved him at Comiskey Park, and he ate it up.
Well, I remember this happened in the opening day that I went out. They had that going on. It was warm. It was about 32 degrees, you know. So they had these guys, not to say anything about White Sox fans, who I think had had a couple of brews out there with their shirts off getting showers. So I do remember that.
They kept their pants on?
They did. as far as we know. So you know more about baseball than just about anybody I know, and I wanted to ask you about some of the stuff that, you know, as they come back now, this has given folks that are not baseball fans, and I hope that we're just talking, you know, just talking here, not necessarily getting inside, but folks that are not necessarily baseball fans would not know that that Major League Baseball has taken the last year to rethink all these rules and things like the designated hitter and junk like that. And I think when they come back now, it's going to be a different game. You have a take on that?
Well, what they're trying to do isn't going to work. They're trying to speed up the game.
Hear, hear.
And when we were children, 90 minutes was a quick game. 2 hours was a long game.
Huh.
And 2.5 hours was unconscionable. And now it's 3-4 hours for a game.
Huh.
And what's happened is television has really screwed it up. They have added about 2 or 3 minutes an inning in extra time between pitches.
Yeah.
Baseball was a very snappy game. Ball players left their gloves on the field.
Yes, yes, yes.
And they ran in, they ran out.
Yeah.
A pitcher threw 4 warm-up pitches. He was ready. And they started the inning.
I know.
Everyone had a mindset of getting the game in and getting it done.
Yeah.
Well, people like Carlton Fisk, who I really liked, slowed the game down. The game was artificially slowed down by the in-between baseball, the in-between innings.
Right.
And then the pace started slowing down, and unintentionally, ball players were slowing it down further. And you are not going to be able to rectify that.
Because it's baseball, Al. I mean, if you want, you want a fast game, go to a hockey game, right? Or soccer. But they're trying to make it into something that's quicker. I remember the first time I ever took my son, you know, my son Bud, who was just a little kid, to a game. And it was the first time we'd ever been to a game. And he said, we were done, he said, "Where were the commercials?" So, yeah.
Well, now he wouldn't say that because they're loaded in the ballpark.
That's right. It's 39 after the hour. Chicago Al Katz joining us here as we talk about baseball. So we kind of reset the clock here. So listen, my colleague Aaron Mittens and I often talk about about artificial intelligence. And I think you know that all the stadiums in Major League land have been wired for years to have, it's an automatic strike zone. And I think they did that to check on the umpires, but they've never used that in a game. And where I'm headed with that, between that and just the sort of automated life that we all lead now, I'm looking for it like that we no longer need an umpire. But anyway, respond to any of that. Respond to any of that.
Yeah, you'll always need an umpire because there's power failures, there's systems go down, there's situations like that. Plus, the visual of an umpire is very important to the history of the game.
Yeah.
So there will always be umpires.
Yeah.
I worked as an umpire after high school, during college and such, and I went as far as American Legion baseball.
Uh-huh.
Actually, called a game that a pitching coach from the White Sox threw in.
Wow!
And Dewey Robinson, his brother Craig was the catcher, and he was an amazing catcher. But nevertheless, sometimes you don't even know this, but nowadays, if an umpire points to the third baseman or the first baseman behind the plate to ask if the player swung or not, traditionally in the past, when you were in the field, you had a signal to tell the home plate umpire if the guy swang at the ball or not.
Swang.
I don't know if that's
Dizzy,
the word.
Dizzy Dean just
Yeah. So, like, I would be down in a semi-crouch, and if the guy did swing, I would stand up.
Yeah.
And that way, my partner behind the plate would know he was swung.
I was just going to say, I umpired Little League a little bit, which is a blast, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But go back. I was thinking, all right, let's try to apply some of this AI. The baseball rule book, as labyrinthine as it is, and they change it every year, you could theoretically get a rules call of a computer, right? Would be probably not more accurate than a major league guy, but more accurate than a minor league ump. And I'm also wondering, so what about, let's really go inside baseball, and I'll take a quick break. Designated hitter rule.
Yeah, it's here to stay.
No.
No, it is, because you'll put people out of work.
Why? What do you mean?
Well, there's certain people that only are DHs.
I know, but that's only because we have this silly DH rule.
Well, you get rid of it, and they're out of a job. Teams are loaded with contracts that way. There's fiduciary reasons for that.
All right, you guys, hang on. All right, you guys, break it up now. Hang on.
Pollution prevention is not just about reducing or eliminating waste.
It's about creating a cleaner, healthier world.
We can do this by changing industrial production processes.
Using less toxic substances and products.
And conserving resources by recycling materials.
You can help prevent pollution with just a few simple steps. Turn off the lights when you leave a room to save energy.
Use products with recycled content to reduce waste.
Buy WaterSense bathroom fixtures and stop leaks to conserve water.
Buy Energy Star appliances and light bulbs to reduce air pollution.
Choose designed for the environment labeled products to reduce hazardous chemicals in the environment.
You can help save resources, energy, and money.
I'm doing what I can. You can do your part to create a healthier environment for you and your family.
Prevent pollution. Preserve the planet.
Doc and Merle Watson, and taking us out to the ball game. Hang on. That's right. It's opening day. If you just join us, it's opening day for baseball. And Chicago Cub fans they're either down at Wrigley or they're hoping they were down at Wrigley. And my friend Chicago Al Katz is on the phone. Hey, let's talk about the Negro Leagues. Want to? You,
sure.
You're the only person I know that actually met Satchel Paige.
Well, but I think how I met him was even more interesting.
Yeah, let me do a quick thing here. For folks who do not know what the Negro League was, we had segregation. And Al, I looked this up the other day. I think there were black players before Reconstruction. I think they were black, and when everything was what they called organized baseball, we had the sport was integrated, and then these knuckleheads decided to segregate it, and that's how we get the Negro League. So, anyway,
so are you talking the 1880s?
Something like I mean, I would have to.
Yeah,
I mean, but yeah. All right.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the point is though. A couple of months, maybe 3 months ago, I saw what was just a little sort of news story that flipped by saying that Major League Baseball was now going to count Negro League stats. And I said, well, hang on. That makes the Negro Leagues a major league. And what about it?
It was. And
it was, yeah.
it was. I actually read a book about Satchel Paige when I was 12 years old. And because my parents were so cool, I had no prejudice in me whatsoever. And I couldn't understand why someone couldn't play baseball just because of the color of his skin. Remember, Ernie Banks, Fergie Jenkins, all these guys were stars. Yeah. Bob Gibson in the major leagues. And it didn't register with me. So I told Satchel Paige when I met him how sorry I was. And he said, "You don't have to be sorry for Satchel Paige." He spoke of himself in the third person the time. And he said, "I had a better life than most. I performed in front of kings, queens, and presidents."
Wow. And Satchel played in the major league at a really old age. I mean, he was with the Negro League.
He was an MVP.
That's right.
In his 50s.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. He was amazing. He was just. It's one of the great joys in life. When I met Cal Ripken Jr. at the height of his fame, uh-huh. I said to him, "Cal, you're not the most famous baseball player I ever met." And we went our separate ways. And suddenly, he stopped, came back out of the store he walked into, and looked at me. And I didn't say anything. And he waved his arms, telling me to tell him who it was. And I said, "Satchel Paige." And he threw his arms up in the air, pointed to me, and gave me a thumbs up.
Wow. Let's get to a game, you and me, this season.
Oh, when I come to town, the White Sox are playing on that Monday.
Oh, they are?
Okay. Yeah.
Al's coming to visit. Al's coming to visit. He wants to meet the birds.
And if not, I can get us into the rooftops across from Wrigley as well. And there's four Cub games that week too.
Can we bring our own masks?
Yes, we can.
Oh, man. Hey, play ball. Play ball. Be well.
I miss it so much. I might, in the fifth inning, get arrested because I stormed the gates at Angel Stadium.
Yeah, well, they do that in Washington. You know, nobody says anything. They like that kind of thing.
I miss baseball so much. I've had such a good time talking with you about this today. And by the way, I don't know if I'll ever have pitches called by artificial intelligence, but because the strike zone is so different, a guy can crouch down and create a smaller strike zone, and they would have to have a human being adjusting it, and that's where you run into problems.
I'll leave that image in our listeners' mind. Al Katz. We'll be right back.
by the shores of old Lake Michigan, where the hawk wind blows so cold. An old Cub fan lay dying in his midnight hour, the toll. Round his bed his friends had all gathered. They knew his time was short. On his head they put this bright blue cap from his all-time favorite sport. Told him it's late, it's getting dark in here, and I know it's time to go. But before I leave the lineup, boys, there's just one thing that I'd like to know. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy-covered burial ground? When I was a boy, they were my pride and joy, but now they only bring fatigue to the home of the brave, the land of the free, and the doormat of the National League. Told his friends, you know the law of averages says anything will happen that can. That's what it says. But the last time the Cubs won a National League pennant was the year we dropped the bomb on Japan. The Cubs made me a criminal, sent me down a wayward path. They stole my youth from me, that's the truth. I'd forsake my teachers to go sit in the bleachers in flagrant truancy. And then one thing led to another, and soon I discovered alcohol, gambling, dope, football, hockey, lacrosse, tennis. But what do you expect when you raise up a young boy's hopes and then just crush them like so many paper beer cups? Year after year after year, after year after year after year after year after year, till those hopes are just so much popcorn for the pigeons beneath the L tracks to eat. He said, you know, I'll never see Wrigley Field anymore before my eternal rest. So if you have your pencils and your scorecards ready, I'll read you my last request. He said, give me a doubleheader funeral in Wrigley Field on some sunny weekend day, no lights. Have the organ play the national anthem, and then a little na-na-na-na, hey, 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 goodbye. Make six bullpen pitchers carry my coffin, and six groundskeepers clear my path. Have the umpires bark me out at every base in all their holy wrath. It's a beautiful day for a funeral. Hey, Ernie, let's play too. Somebody go get Jack Brickhouse to come back and conduct just one more interview. Have the Cubbies run right out into the middle of the field. Have Keith Moreland drop a routine fly. Give everybody two bags of peanuts and a frosty malt, and I'll be ready to die. Build a big fire on home plate out of your Louisville Slugger baseball bats and toss my coffin in. Let my ashes blow in a beautiful snow from the prevailing 30-mile-an-hour southwest wind. And when my last remains go flying over the left field wall, we'll bid the bleacher bums adieu. I will come to my final resting place out on Waveland Avenue. The dying man's friends told him to cut it out. They said, stop it, that's an awful shame. He whispered, don't cry, we'll meet by and by near the Heavenly Hall of Fame. He said, I've got season's tickets to watch the Angels now. So that's just what I'm gonna do. Said, but you, the living, you're stuck here with the Cubs. So it's me that feels sorry for you. And he said, oh, play that Lonesome Losers tune. That's the one I like the best. Closed his eyes and slipped away Well, Scotty, it was the Dying Cub fans' last request, so here it is. Do they still play the blues in Chicago when baseball season rolls around? When the snow melts away, do the Cubbies still play in their ivy-covered burial ground? Home of the brave, the land of the free, and the doormat of the National League.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They learn much more than I'll ever know. Myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.